I will be honest with you. I have a rebellious streak. You wouldn't think a guy dressed like I do would have a rebellious streak, but I do, that runs a mile long. I have never been completely comfortable with authority, and I come by that honestly. When I was a kid, I watched my mother do battle all the time. She would battle with store clerks, she would battle with corporations, you know, somebody like shorted her or something like that. She would battle with politicians. She would battle with people who didn't take her seriously for a variety of reasons. That sounds contentious, but what I really was actually learning from her is that the world isn't fair, and that you need to stand up for yourself, and you need to stand up for other people. And this was a big thing for her, was championing other people. And so I took that into my own consciousness, and this is how I saw the world as well. I grew up listening to the social protest music of the 60s. That's what my parents played in their house. But when I was 12, I discovered hip-hop. And that captured my heart. Rap was the social protest music of my generation. Listening to Public Enemy and Ice-T gave me a strong sense that the world isn't right, that the system is rigged against those who don't fit in for whatever reason, their race, their gender, how much money they have, where they happen to live, whatever it is. Later, I would discover that same sort of message amidst the blaring guitars of Rage Against the Machine and the outlaw country of Johnny Cash. I was radicalized by it. Now, looking back on all of this, during those same years, I became a political activist as a teenager. I joined Amnesty International and an environmentalist collective called GEO. I grew up my hair quite long. And I wore Rock Band t-shirts and ripped jeans. And I hung out with girls who had very long hair and wore hemp necklaces, and guys who had tattoos on their arms and piercings in their ears, among other places. Eventually, I got my own ear pierced, though I was always too chicken to get a tattoo. We protested human rights abuses, pollution, corporate greed, and racism. I almost got arrested a couple of times. We'll save that for my next trip to Oklahoma City. During those same years, I was writing songs and I was putting out underground hip-hop tapes. Some of you remember tapes? These used to be a thing. Later, some friends and I formed a band that played a mix of rock, rap, and folk at coffee houses, college campuses, and festivals throughout the state of Maryland. Both the music and the activism followed me to college, where we fought for better conditions for workers and more investment in the arts for students. Now, as I think back on this time from the vantage I have now of my late 30s, I'm not ashamed of anything that I was a part of. With the idealism of youth, I desperately wanted to do good in a world that so often isn't good. And I think that's a healthy impulse. But it was also an impulse that led me away from the church for a time, because I assumed that Christianity was part of the same broken system that I was hell-bent on upending. I was raised Roman Catholic, sort of. My mother was an agnostic, My father was a very liberal Catholic. The church I grew up in encouraged a rather squishy version of the faith. Yet I still found Catholicism oppressive almost by instinct. Pieces of it spoke deeply to my soul, but not enough to overcome my aversion to authority. I made my first confession when I was about 10. I said something half made up about not being nice enough to another kid in school or something like that. And the priest was kind, but I had no idea what I was doing. Didn't know why I was doing it. And that was basically the last time. And as I got older, I absorbed ideas about sacramental confession from what I saw in television shows and movies. And you all have probably seen these things. They don't usually paint this practice in a very positive light. And so I knew from what I had seen and read that confession was just about beating yourself up. It was about the big, oppressive church getting its jollies by judging you for every misstep and ill-conceived thought. As far as I was concerned, Christianity was just something else to rebel against, just another system to lift up the powerful and put down everybody else. I couldn't have been more wrong about Christianity and about confession. In my adult life, I've discovered that not only is the sacrament of reconciliation, also known as confession, not oppressive, it is, in fact, the most liberating and freeing thing on the planet. Sacramental confession is the ultimate act of rebellion. In 1994, the first issue of the zine Death to the World came out. I didn't see the zine until many years later when I was already an adult and a Christian, but I wish I'd seen it back then because it would have put a lot of things in perspective for me. If you don't know what a zine is, back in the 80s and the 90s, zines were a big deal. In the pre-internet world, this was how people on the margins communicated with one another. Pick your countercultural movement, and there was some group of people with a small press in their basement printing up little short magazines and selling them on a street corner or giving them out somewhere. This was particularly true of the punk rock scene in Southern California at the time. Two Eastern Orthodox monks named Father John and Father Damascene wanted to reach out to the kids in the punk scene, which Father John had been a part of before entering the monastery. As you can imagine, the world of underground punk rock isn't exactly friendly to the idea of organized religion. As a music form, punk has always been about pure rebellion against repressive and regressive social constructs. Other efforts at evangelizing this group of folks by evangelical Christians had never made much headway. These folks could smell an effort to con them from a mile away. But Father John had been a part of their world. He knew what these folks were searching for and longing for. And so through trial and error, the Death to the World zine was born. The first issue, I really wanted to have copies to give to you all, but alas. The first issue featured a picture on the cover of a monk holding a skull. There's your monk with the skull. And the masthead over the top read, Death to the World. And then in smaller letters underneath, The Last True Rebellion. A caption on the back cover read, "They hated me without cause." The articles inside were filled with icons and images of holy martyrs from the Orthodox tradition. The first run eventually sold 50,000 copies. It's pretty remarkable for just this tiny press in some basement. Over the years since, a number of punk rockers have become Orthodox Christians because of it and have gone on to hand out copies of the zine at concerts and festivals. Guys with full sleeve tattoos and girls with lip rings started to show up at Southern California parishes. What was going on here? Well, what was this all about? Why did this outreach from this very traditional, and you might even say very austere form of Christianity, reach these young people when other efforts had not? I think it's because this zine gave these punk rockers something real to rebel against. You see, other forms of evangelism had tried to convince these folks that the problem was rebellion itself, and that they needed to stop rebelling and accept the status quo. What Death to the World said was that they were right to want to rebel. But the greatest oppressor isn't the one sitting in an office building somewhere pulling strings. The greatest oppressor is the human heart. It's the sin that lives in our hearts that oppresses us. Jesus said, "Out of the heart comes all evil thoughts." The world's not right because we're not right. Political oppression, economic oppression, racism, inequality, violence, they all come from the same cause. They come from inside of you and me. We'll never be able to stand up to oppression in the world around us until we get out from under the oppression within us. And the world around us is set up to do anything but deliver us from this oppression. Every crooked system, every corrupt institution, every dysfunctional family, all of it, designed by the father of this world, the father of lies, the devil himself, to keep us from the truth. Since returning to Christianity in my 20s, I've come to embrace the practice of sacramental confession that I once spurned. I went to confession for the first time as an adult when I was in seminary, and it was for purely practical reasons. I still didn't like the idea of it, but I figured one day I'm going to be a priest, I'm going to have to hear other people's confessions, I might want to try it every once in a while just to see what happens. But after some initial floundering with some less than ideal confessors, eventually I found a wise priest who said to me, "I'm a sinner myself and completely unworthy to hear your confession, but if you still want to do it, I'd be honored to hear it." And I thought, this is the guy. And after I went to confession with him, I was hooked, and I go at least 4 or 5 times a year now. Here's what we don't get about confession. We think it's about the church judging us. It's not. It's about Jesus setting us free. The priest at confession stands in the place of Jesus, or sits in the place of Jesus, as the case may be. He is Christ's ears and eyes and hands. When we speak to him, we speak to Christ. And sure, We can speak to Christ anywhere, right? We don't need the confessional to do that. But how often does he speak back? You see, in the context of confession, we open our hearts before God. And all the sinful passions and dispositions that we're afraid of letting anyone see, the stuff that the devil tells us we should keep quiet, keep over here in the dark where it can, you know, grow and fester. All of that gets exposed to the light of day. And then when we're done, the priest makes the sign of the cross over our heads and absolves us of our sins. And he makes the sign of the cross because in that moment, he is applying the work of Christ on the cross directly to you, placing it upon you. He's renewing the work of the Holy Spirit in you that was begun in your baptism. And so the priest says, by Christ's authority committed to me, I absolve you from all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. That's the version of the absolution found in the Book of Common Prayer. And it's so important that he says it just that way. I absolve you from all your sins. Because this isn't merely a reminder of God's forgiveness. It's not a platitude. It's not, in that moment, just one sinner talking to another. In that moment, it's Jesus Christ himself speaking to you. Not in a generic way, like in the general confession during the Eucharist, but directly, personally. Jesus hears you. He hears your confession and your repentance. The word repent simply means to turn around. He hears you wanting so desperately to rebel against the forces inside of yourself that have led you to destructive thoughts and behavior. In that moment of absolution, he lifts that burden from you and places it on his own shoulders. He takes your sins in himself and he puts them to death on the cross, while at the same time restoring your heart to holiness and wholeness. So, I don't do much activism anymore. I find politics interesting, but more often than not, self-defeating. The people I meet on all sides of our political spectrum are good folks who are oppressed by the same evils that oppress me: sin, death, and the devil. I still wear a lot of band t-shirts, but usually they're under clergy shirts these days. My band stopped playing years ago. My hair is now short and gray. Believe it or not, this used to be red. And I took my earring out a long time ago. And so to all outward appearances, it might seem that I've given up the rebellion of my youth. But now you all know the truth. I didn't give up anything. I found the true rebellion. I make my confession regularly, and every time I do, I know a freedom and peace that comes from nothing else in this world. And so I invite you to do the same. Make your confession. Become a part of the one true rebellion. and Jesus Christ will break the shackles of your heart and set you free. Thank you.